goodness. Praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your walk with the Lord that remains steady and steadfast, and the help of the Lord that continues to bless us as we are strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I'm thankful that was one of Paul's prayers. I was reading Ephesians and noticed the number of times that Paul would indicate that he was praying. And so I took note of what he prayed for. And hopefully I'll be able to share that with you sometime in a lesson, because it grabbed my attention as Paul made mention of his prayers for the Ephesian believers and, of course, all of us, and what he prayed for. And I'm thankful that there is that power and might that the Lord imparts to us as we serve Him and walk with Him. I appreciate your faithfulness. Christmas for Christ has gone beyond $800 so far. Now, we wish we could have been together for every Thursday and every fellowship and all the donations. But thank you for being faithful in your giving. God bless you so much. And I'd like for us to begin with prayer. There are several who are still not well. They're still struggling. And we want to hold them up in prayer in particular. It seems like it's still circulating among us, but I'm thankful that the Lord's hand has been upon us to strengthen us. The Abbots need our prayers. The Lord would raise them up. The Gilberts, the Walkers, Sister Trish, Sister Maria. These in particular, still struggling with the virus a bit, and we're going to believe the Lord to do a work of healing. The Hylers, we're thankful for the good report about Bill, paralyzed on his right side, but he is able to do some movement, and we're thankful for that. Howard being settled in at the senior home, and trust that God is going to continue to do a work for him. The Who's, Tom and Celia, God would be with them and minister to their needs and to their hearts. The Villas are traveling, all of them, heading back to the East Coast, finally able to have a visit with Ricky and Lydia and the new arrival, which is a year old now, not quite a year old, but been a long while. I guess it was last spring. And they've been anxiously looking forward to the time to visit with them. So we'll pray that God would keep them safe. Then, of course, Tuesday, the election. We're believing God for His will to be done and His hand to be displayed and the blessing of God to be upon our president and all of the events that will unfold at that time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for these needs, and trust God for His hand to minister a healing touch. Our Lord and Savior, we thank You for the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the healing, Lord God, that You're able to impart. We pray for the Abbots, God, that Your hand would be upon them. Raise them up, O Lord. Show Your might. Show Your power. Show that family, O God, how You're able to intervene. You're able, Lord God, to do the work. We ask You, O Lord, keep Your hand upon the Gilberts. Watch over them, Lord Jesus. Protect them, Lord God. Heal them, Lord Jesus. O God, show Your mighty hand again to do a mighty work, Lord God. We thank You for the healing. We thank You for Your touch. Be with the Walkers, Lord God. Lift them up, I pray. Touch and heal, strengthen and bless. O Lord, we ask You, God, to display Your hand of healing. Do a mighty work, God, for Trish, for Sister Maria, God. Move, Lord, we pray. Oh, God, touch and heal their bodies. Lift them up, Lord God, for Your glory, for Your blessing, for Your strength. We thank You, Lord. We glorify You, Lord. Thank You for the Hylers, God. Continue to do a work for them. Bless Brother Norm, Sister Belinda, God, as they travel. Watch over them, Lord God, I pray, and protect them, Lord. Bless Bill and Sandy. Bless Howard, God. Work a work, we pray, for Tom and Celia, who, God, I pray that You would be with them. all of the WHO family. Minister, Lord God, in their lives, in their hearts, especially touch Tom. Work a work, God, for your glory. Work a work, God, for your namesake. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. The vias as they travel, God, keep them safe. Bless them and watch over them. Refresh them and keep them, Lord. Oh, God, keep them strong and healthy, we ask, in the name of the Lord. The election, oh, God, we ask your will to be done. We ask your hand to be displayed. We ask your touch and blessing upon the president. God, we ask you now, move and minister, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, work a work, God, for all of the needs, Lord. And we put them in your hands now, casting our care upon you, knowing, Lord God, that you care for us. Your compassion is great. It's new every morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, we exalt you, we glorify you. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name. Amen, amen. We certainly miss you and are thankful for the times that we can share online, but not the same, of course, and we're looking forward to coming together. And hopefully next Sunday, we're aiming for our service to be open and everybody to be able to come together. Until then, on Tuesday prayer, I'll be sending out an email for you to pray at home, and certainly the election will be our focus of prayer, and then Bible study on Thursday, again online. But we'll set our sights on Sunday. Praise God. And the Lord will help us, and we'll be able to come together in the name of the Lord, because this definitely has gotten old the last few weeks, but we appreciate your prayers. Sister Glover is doing much, much better, and we thank the Lord for that. There's still more healing, of course, that has yet to come, but the Lord is doing a good work, and we thank the Lord for that. And all others who have been touched by the Lord, we thank God for the good report. Speaking of good report, Brother Eichard will be sending this out in his email, but he sent me a quick note to let me know that there was a new preaching point in Namibia that a Bible school student opened up, and just in the last 2 weeks, they've had over 20 baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and about a half a dozen of them received the Holy Ghost, and a lady completely healed of cancer. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that God is still doing a great work and the power of the Lord is still being displayed. Thank God. And he said, I'll put that in my report, and as soon as I receive that, I'll send that on to you, and you can continue to rejoice in what the Lord is doing around the world. Amen. Excuse me. Luke 22 is where we'll turn our attention now. Luke 22, verse 54. You'll recognize the story right off because of who it involves and what happened and the time that this is centered around was a difficult time. It still affects me powerfully when I read from Luke and Mark and Matthew and John. The report of the Lord and his sacrifice. But I want to focus just on the last part of verse 54. Then took they him and led him, speaking of Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter, thank the Lord for Peter. Thank the Lord for his boldness, his desire, and his stubbornness. Peter followed afar off. Now, in one sense, we're going to look at that statement and perhaps find fault with it. Somebody said, to criticize is to be the smallest size. Criticize. Well, Peter, to his credit, is following. At least he's following. doesn't say that about any of the other disciples. Obviously, there would be one who would be there to report the actions of Peter, but at least he followed afar off. However, our purpose and our intent and our desire is not to let this COVID situation induce us to follow from afar. Thank the Lord for online, and that's close. That's bringing us together in one sense. But once this COVID thing is defeated and the Lord gives us victory and we're more than conquerors, I believe he's going to do that for us. I want us not to be following from afar digitally or online or however you want to call it. I want us to be together. Amen. And determining we're going to follow the Lord as close, as hot, as hard, however we want to phrase it, as we can. But let's take just a moment here to look at following afar. Samson comes to my mind when I think about being close or being far. His life cut short, his life, however, full of conquests, full of victories, but yet at the same time, full of compromise, full of situations that he should have totally avoided. And ultimately it led to him and his final prayer and his final victory. Thank the Lord. It did end in a victory. And the victory is by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord figures very prominently in Samson's victories and how he was able to defeat his enemies. The strength that came to him by the Spirit of the Lord when he would take a young lion and tear it apart. Now, that would take some doing, because a lion with its fangs and with its claws would be able to do considerable damage to a man. But because of the Spirit of the Lord that gave supernatural strength to Samson, he was able to tear that lion apart. He killed 30 of the enemies, and then 1,000 that he slew. And I'll just move quickly through some of these exploits that Samson was a part of. Other amazing events besides the enemy, capturing 300 foxes, tying their tails together and setting them afire. That would take some doing. I wonder if that's where the idea of foxfire came from. Anyway, a great slaughter of the enemy, the gates of Gaza being carried off. Now that would take some doing. Getting the gates loose, first of all, then lifting him upon his shoulders and carrying them off a certain way. I'm sure those who dwelt in that city would wonder how in the world they're going to get the gates back. How are we going to dismantle them? How are we going to transport them back? All of those things because of Samson's great strength. And then Delilah shows up, and she wanted to know the secret of his great strength. And the enemy lying in wait in her household to where she could summon them in a moment, and there they would be, and Samson would arise and in a great strength again be able to defeat them. How did he not make the situation add up and figure in his mind, how is it that every time I'm here in her house, visiting with the one my affections are upon, that the enemy also shows up? And how is it that she entices me and continually is asking me about my strength? There should have been a wake-up call somewhere along the line, because the Bible says she pressed him daily with her words. There wasn't a day that went by that she didn't badger him. She didn't question him. She didn't plead with him. What is the source of your strength? And so on. Well, eventually Samson developed heart problems. And the Bible says he told her all his heart. And Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. And so she signals again, those that are lying in wait. This has been several times now that this process has unfolded, and again, Samson should have been aware, should have recognized. But there came that time where she says, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." And Samson asleep, and then shaved, and then, of course, we know the sad story of him grinding just like a captured animal, blinded, captured, made to work in a prison house, living out his days in captivity. How sad and how difficult. And here's the amazing part, where before his capture, before his blindness, before he was defeated, he didn't know that the Lord departed. That's a sad statement in the scripture. He didn't even know that the Lord had departed from him, because he had played around the edge too long, too often, too many times, and now he is captured. But thank God for repentance. Thank God for a return. Thank God for a prayer that he would ask of the Lord, and then the vengeance that the Lord gave him upon his enemy. But a question lingers in my mind. Was he closer to the Lord because of those victories, or did those victories cause him to become lax? Did he fall back a little bit farther in following the Lord? Did he relax his intention and his desire for the things of God? Did he recognize it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him that produced the powerful results? But did those powerful results cause him to just feel like he could snap his fingers, so to speak, go forth against the enemy, defeat them just as he had in other times, and do considerable exploits at their expense, and be able to continue on everything normal? You know, deceived in spite of deliverance, that's a very real possibility. That's the danger of following afar off, not being where we need to be. I think about the Lord speaking to the people of Israel in his ministry, and he told the parable of the great feast, and you would think, a great feast, oh my, include me, let me be invited, I want to be a part of that. But he told about those who were invited, and yet they gave excuses instead of a willingness to participate. One said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to prove them, or I need to test them." And it's a good thing to look over what you're purchasing before you make the buy. And he had the right intentions here. However, that could have been something he postponed. That could have been something he would put off later and say, "This feast, that's more important. I can schedule my testing of my oxen, and I can put off the purchase for a little longer. I can give them a down payment to hold on to those oxen for me because I want to go to the feast." But no, it didn't turn out that way. Another man said, "I bought a piece of ground, and I need to see it." Well, hopefully he saw it before he bought the piece of ground. But truth of the matter is, we're going to end up with a very small plot of ground. And we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we're going to take nothing out. And just that small plot of ground, it was what we're going to end up with. One said, the third declared, "I've married a wife." Thank God. Good to serve God together. And he could have said, "Can I bring my wife? It's all right. I've just been married, and I'd love to come to the banquet, and I'd like to bring my wife." And certainly we know that would have been permissible. But it's interesting to see the excuses of these individuals who felt like, no, we don't want to participate. We don't want to be there. We have these reasons. We have these excuses. The Lord said, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, laying aside the commandments of God. How important to be able to understand I can't allow myself to step into that realm of error and excuse and wrongdoing. I've got to make sure I'm following the Lord as close as I can. Amen. Because how is it that there would be those who would call upon the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, but yet don't do the things that he commands? You see, the story from Matthew 7 is built on obedience. I know we look at the foundation, the rock and the sand and so on, and that foundation is important, but the foundation is really obedience. The obedience of doing the work of the Lord, the obedience of following God and following him closely, not afar off. Because I definitely don't want to hear the Lord declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I want to be able to call Lord, Lord, and know I'm following close to him. Lord, Lord, and feel his healing touch. Lord, Lord, and feel his powerful presence. Praise God. And know the goodness of the Lord. The story of Samson is echoed in the story of Laodicea. Laodicea being lukewarm. Their assessment was, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. Now that sounds pretty affluent, that sounds pretty much the heart of increase, and everything looking really good. But here again, they didn't know, just like Samson didn't know. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Laodicea did not know, and they needed to hear the Spirit give his assessment and let them know you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. They didn't see themselves in that way. They saw themselves as rich, increased with goods. We don't need a thing. Everything's going well. Everything's going smooth. We're exactly where we need to be and have all that we require. But the Lord said, no, that's not the situation. What was happening was they were looking at the natural. They were looking at everything that they could possess, everything that they could grab a hold of. But in the spiritual realm, in the realm that matters, in the realm that's going to lead to eternity, they didn't have what was required. Spiritual poverty, spiritual blindness was what they were living in. And so the Lord counsels them. Thank God he's our counselor. Thank the Lord he's our comforter. Thank the Lord he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He counseled them, buy of me. The focus needs to be on him. Come to him. Amen. And have gold tried in the fire and be rich in faith. Is what he was saying. Make sure your focus is on what's going to last and what is true riches. You need to buy white raiment. There needed to be a righteousness that they valued, right living that they were making choices for day after day after day, and the right standing in their walk with God. Anointing for their eyes to see beyond today, to see beyond the temporal, to focus on what's eternal. That's what they needed to do. And thank God the Lord offered them that opportunity. This is what you can do. Here's how you can turn. This is the way that you can go. Don't follow afar off. Come close to me. Look to me. Be clothed by me. Praise God. You see, the problem with Laodicea was the world was in the church. And our challenge today is for the church to be in the world. Amen. Following the Lord as close as we can and inviting others follow the Lord as well. All right, in our time remaining here, let's look at Peter. It's about Peter. Peter and the Lord. We thank God for Peter walking on the water. How powerful and amazing that was. We thank the Lord for Peter pulling in a fish. Now, he pulled in many fish. That was his life. That was his income. That was his employment. But the Lord sent him one particular time to fish. And when he pulled in that fish, he opened the mouth, and sure enough, there's money in the mouth. Praise God. Now, what an experience that would be. He claimed he would die with the Lord. Actually, all the disciples did. I'll die with you, Lord. And we know what happened in the garden. The Lord praying, the disciples sleeping. And then the Lord awakening them for that final time and saying, those that are coming to capture me are near. And Peter, of course, with the sword swinging around there among that group, and the servant of the high priest, Malchus, having his ears severed. But the Lord healing him in that moment. The Lord doing a miraculous work, even at the hour of his arrest. And then Peter following afar off to the judgment hall, sitting there at the fire, and fitting in with all of those who were gathered around, and then the denials that the Lord prophesied would happen before the rooster would begin to crow. A young maid accused him, he denied. Another woman made the accusation of him, recognizing him, and so on. And then the third one is amazing. It's a relative, according to John 18:26, it's a relative of the servant of the high priest whose ear he cut off. You're the one. No, and we know his denial came forth. Then the rooster crowed. Then remembrance flooded him, and remorse caused him to go out and weep. You know, all four Gospels record Peter's denial. We usually talk about the Synoptic Gospels, and that's generally considered to be Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they, the three of them, generally record all of the Synoptic, or the things that happen together in the Gospels. John is just a little bit different. But John includes Peter's denial as well. Not to emphasize the failure, not to show that Peter's not worth it, that Peter is definitely a failure. No, it's to emphasize that he came to repentance, from following afar off, praise God, to walking in forgiveness. Oh, I'm so glad our God is a God of another chance and another chance and another chance. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord forgives. I'm thankful that his compassion is real. I'm thankful that he reaches out with love and forgiveness. Praise God, and draws us closer to him. After the resurrection, we know Peter was singled out by the angel. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Praise God. And so Peter and John ran to the tomb. Peter was fishing when the Lord provided for them. Peter heard the Lord ask him, "Do you love me?" And those three affirmations of his love for the Lord would be as though it would expunge the three denials. I'm not sure what the Lord was doing there, but certainly affirming that the love for the Lord can be strong. The love for the Lord can be first and foremost. Praise God. And thank the Lord. Peter heard the Lord give the promises of, "You shall receive the Holy Ghost. Power from on high is going to come to you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you." He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And Peter did receive it. Praise God. Along with 120 who were in the upper room. Praise God. Get warmed up by a better fire. Sitting around with people who loved him and would appreciate him. Praise God. The acceptance that he received, not accusation. But Peter preached, and he stood up with the 11. Thank God. Oh, I'm thankful for the unity that's in the house of God. I'm thankful for the unity that we have among our brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for the unity in one mind and one accord that the devil hates. And that's why he attacks it so often. Don't let yourself be an instrument that would try to bring disunity, but to move into that realm of unity. Praise God. And Peter would preach a simple message, a powerful message, new birth, repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Spirit is to all that are afar off. Praise God. Peter was so glad that he's not afar off. Peter was so glad that he repented, he returned, he walked with the Lord again. Praise God. We can play the what if game here for a minute. What if he didn't repent? What if he didn't turn back? What if he was not there and somebody else was in his place? What if his brother Andrew preached on the day of Pentecost instead of Peter? What if it was John and Philip at the gate who healed the lame man? What if it was James and John who went down to Samaria? What if it was Matthew who preached at Cornelius' house? But thank God there's not a what if. There's what a God. What a God of forgiveness. What a God of love. What a God of power. What a God of blessing. What a God who's able to bring about a change in people's lives. One time following afar off, but now right in the thick, right in the middle, right in the place where he needs to be. And Peter's ministry and miracles being declared in such a wonderful way, even the shadow of Peter. Oh my goodness, how powerful is that? Amen. Ananias and Sapphira judged. Peter was right there. And great fear came upon the people of God. Oh Lord, help us to understand there's goodness in the things of the Lord. There's blessing in the things of God. There's power as we walk with the Lord. But I can't play with it and act as though everything is all okay, but my actions in secret are not where they need to be. That example of Ananias and Sapphira should help us to understand following God close is where we need to be, not from afar. But oh, thank the Lord. Multitudes came from cities around Jerusalem, and they were healed, every one. The angel delivered Peter from prison. The revival in Samaria, Aeneas being healed, praise God, Tabitha being raised to life, Cornelius and his household coming to the Lord, Peter being delivered from prison after James was executed. Thank God, the power of the Lord there to be displayed because of the work that the Lord did in Peter's life. Not following afar now, staying right on fire, staying right in place, praise God. And you read the words of Peter. He wrote two letters to the church. And it's interesting how he would direct attention to following the Lord, how to follow the Lord. I'll just share a few of them real quick here. 1 Peter 2 and 21, we are called to follow his steps. 1 Peter 3 and 13, be followers of that which is good. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 19, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but a more sure word of prophecy. And you do well that you follow and let the day star arise in your hearts, he declares. And thank God, it's not following cunningly devised fables, some philosopher, some idea, some thought, some religion that would make it up, but thank God we know the power of the Lord and the blessings that he would bring forth and the goodness that God would display as we followed after him. There's also a warning that Peter would include. He warned against following false teachers in his second letter, those that would deny the Lord that bought them. And perhaps as Peter is penning these words, he would remember his denial, his problem, his difficulty, but he would write about the precious blood of Christ. He would remember the forgiveness of God. Amen. And he would warn against following those who were false in their pernicious ways, their shameful ways. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 and 2, oh God, help us to listen to what Peter has to say and to understand he's speaking from experience and he knows the direction to choose and to go the right way, not the way of Balaam. In 2 Peter 2 and 15, he warns about the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of wickedness and followed that way and went that direction, not even seeing the angel. The donkey had to see the angel. What spiritual blindness on the part of Balaam. But thank God the power of the Lord could be there for us. And Peter is warning, don't walk that way. Don't go that direction. Make right choices. Go in the right direction. Choose the right things. Praise God. Follow close to the Lord, not afar off. James would say, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Praise God. No, I can't be content to be afar off. Amen. I'm definitely not content to have you online and not here in the house of the Lord. I don't want you to be afar off. I want us to be together. I want us to be close. I want us to be strong. Praise God. Comforting one another and knowing the blessings of the Lord continue in our situations. Comfort and convenience can cheat you out of a closer walk with Christ. And I've got to make sure I'm not going to step into that realm. Amen. Peter wrote, 1 Peter 2 and 25, this is what he wrote, you were as sheep going astray. And again, he could remember his circumstance. He could remember his situation. He can remember how difficult it was for him in those 3 days between the crucifixion and his denial and the resurrection and the angel giving the message, go and tell Peter, the Lord is resurrected. We were as sheep going astray. And Peter could include himself in that area. But he said, now we've returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Thank God that there is one that is our shepherd. There is one who is the bishop and the overseer of our hearts and our lives. There is one that we can follow close and know that God's power would be there for us. Amen. And the blessings of the Lord that would be so strong, so wonderful, so great, so powerful, and not following the Lord afar off. John was the last of the apostles, the original apostles. Thank God they're still apostles today, but John was the last of the original. A young man, as he served the Lord, and now in his 90s, on the Isle of Patmos, in the Mediterranean Sea, being directed by the Lord to write about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank God there's still more that we can see of the Lord, more that we can know and understand of the Lord and our experience with him based on the word of the Lord. Thank God, and we can see him high and lifted up. We can know he is victor, he is conqueror, he is the one who is having power over all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank God, and we know him as the faithful and true, the Word of God. And all of the titles that John would write in his gospel, he continues to write of the titles of the Lord in the book of Revelation. And oh, thank God, John would see his name upon the foundations, because the 12 apostles have their names on the foundation. And Peter is written there as well. Thank God he didn't just continue to follow the Lord afar off. Thank God he didn't fall away after his denials. Thank God he continued on with the Lord. And thank God, likewise, you and I have that opportunity. Mistakes, yes. Failures, not final, but move us into the realm where God is going to offer again his power and his blessing and lift us up to following him on fire, following him close, following him with everything we've got within us. Amen. And not letting ourselves become lulled to a place of complacency and lounging on a couch of convenience, or however we might want to say it. No, on fire for the Lord, walking with him, serving him, being directed by him. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to minister to us so that we don't settle into that realm of being following afar off, but no, moving in that realm of fire and knowing his power and his goodness. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for all of the help that you make available to us. Your Spirit helps our infirmities. Your Spirit moves in our lives. Your Spirit sets us afire. Oh, God, we don't want to quench the Spirit. Lord God, we don't want to grieve your spirit, but we want to move in the realm of that fire, a fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire that brings illumination, the fire that brings comfort and power. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk in your realms. Help us, Lord God, to walk in obedience to your word, not following afar off, but, oh God, determining with all that is within us, we're going to walk close to you, serving you. Oh, Lord God, doing a work in your name, but walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, walking in obedience to your word, following you as close as we can, Lord, not being lulled to a false sense of security or complacency, not being lulled into a place of convenience and comfort, but, oh, God, desiring with all of our hearts to serve you, to walk with you, to obey you. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, for your love. Thank you, Lord, the forgiveness that you extend to us again and again. Continue, Lord Jesus, to move and work in our lives, and we can follow after you. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We lift up your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. An old song went through my mind this morning. I was getting ready to come to the house of the Lord. An old song that asks some questions about who can do a work, who can provide, and so on. And those are in the verses. Then the chorus simply answers the questions. It is Jesus. Jesus, sad one, weep no more. He can heal the brokenhearted, open wide the prison door. He is able to deliver evermore. Praise God. I'm glad I know it's Jesus. I'm glad I know it's his power. I'm glad I know it's his blessing and his spirit, and I want to follow him as close as I can. Amen. In the name of the Lord. All right. Praise God. We appreciate Brother Levi doing a good work here. And apologize for the problems with Facebook, but hopefully you'll be able to hear on the podcast as well. But know that we love you, know that we're praying for you, knowing we're believing God for good things for the Lord to bestow upon you as you follow him faithfully, praise God, faithfully, not afar off, but faithfully and strong that we can do a work for the Lord. Remember praying at home on Tuesday, especially for the election situation, that the Lord will be done and the protection and peace and blessing would be there, and certainly to vote according to the will of the Lord and the Word of God, the Word of God. That's what we want to obey and follow after the Lord. Amen. Thursday, more than likely, we'll be online again, but Sunday, we're hoping, Lord willing, we'll be able to come together and celebrate together. Amen. In the name of the Lord. We love you. Thank you for praying. Continue to be faithful. Continue to ask the Lord for his goodness and his blessing upon his people. And we'll see the good things of God displayed in Jesus' name. God bless you today.